Turn in our Bibles to the Gospel of Mark, again please, for scripture reading, and we're going to read from verse 25 of the chapter. The Gospel of Mark, chapter 5, and reading from verse 25. Verse 25 of Mark, chapter 5. And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing better, but rather grew worse. When she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind, and touched his garment. For she said, If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, heard him about in the press and said, Who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, Thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, Who touched me? And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, Daughter, Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace, and be whole of thy plague. And then we know the Lord will have his blessings, the reading of his precious word to all of our hearts. Can we unite in a word of prayer, please? Our loving God and our Father, we thank thee for what our ears have heard tonight. We bless thee for the word of testimony. We thank thee for the day that thou didst save our brother Robert. Thou didst bring him unto thyself. Lord, what thou hast done for him, Lord, thou canst do for others. It can be well with the souls of men and women tonight. They can have that assurance that it is well with my soul. So Lord, bless tonight and write thy word upon hearts. For it's in Jesus' precious name I would ask these things. Amen. Amen. The Lord Jesus Christ had just made a great stir in the land of the Galileans. And they cast a legion of devils out of a man into a herd of swine. And those pigs had run violently down the slope and into the sea and were drowned. And the man out of whom the Lord had cast the devils had been a notorious madman. But now he was found sitting and clothed and in his right mind. The Lord had changed him because there was nothing that could have been done with him before. They bound him with chains. And he just broken the chains and gone on. But thank God the Lord had changed and transformed that man by his mighty power. And there was this man now with his wits about him and with the peace of God in his heart. But not all greeted what the Lord had done with enthusiasm. Because we read about the people of Gadara, the town that was nearest, and they were more concerned about the herd of swine than they were about the man that had been delivered. And instead of greeting the Lord Jesus and embracing the one that had done this miracle, they besought the Lord to go out of their coast. And the Lord didn't argue with them, he just went. But he came across the sea, and as he came across the Sea of Galilee, the record or the narrative of what he had done got across the sea before him. And in verse 21 it says, And when Jesus was passed over again by ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea. He was met by a great crowd of people. Now in that crowd there were all sorts of people. There were those there that were just come for curiosity. They just came because they heard about the miracle. And they wondered what had taken place. They wanted to see this one that had delivered this madman of Gadara. But there was no depth of desire in their hearts. They were just there out of curiosity. They wanted to see the spectacle. Perhaps some of you here tonight have just come out of curiosity. And then there were others in that crowd who were the enemies of Christ. In every crowd there were representatives of the scribes and Pharisees. And they hated Christ. And they had a hypocritical religion. And they had plenty of religion about them, but they hadn't much of reality in their hearts. They hear the Lord Jesus Christ. And in any large crowd, there are those who have no time for Christ. and no time for the gospel, despisers and haters of that which was right. But then there were those also in that crowd who were delighted to see the Lord Jesus. Luke chapter 8 verse 40 tells us, and it came to pass that when Jesus was returned, the people gladly received him, for they were all waiting for him. And no doubt that was the majority of the people. They came in such great numbers, and many of them there were glad to see the Lord Jesus Christ. There was such a great crowd that it is called here the press. I'm sure you've been in a large crowd, and you're just carried about from one place to the other. People press against you and push you and shove you, and it was a big crowd like that. But you know, in the midst of all that pushing and shoving, people barging into one another, the Lord asked a very peculiar question. He turned to his disciples and he said, "Who touched me?" And the disciples, that's a funny question to ask. These people are pushing and shoving, and here we are in a great pressing crowd, and he says, "Who touched me?" Well, you see, the touch that the Savior had felt was a different touch. It was the touch of faith. And there were many people in that crowd that day. There was a great multitude, a mighty press. But there was only one who reached out and touched the Savior by faith. And I'm glad of everyone that is gathered in this meeting this evening. I'm glad of those that have come. I don't know why you've come. You've come here for different reasons. And as you have sat in the meeting and listened to the testimony, no doubt there are those of you that have different thoughts. But wherever you've come, and whatever reason it may be that has brought you here, I hope that someone, some person, some young person, some man or woman, may reach out by faith and touch the Lord as he passes by. This woman reached out and touched the Lord. And for a few minutes at the end of our meeting tonight, we just want to look at this remarkable woman and see her history here in this portion of Scripture. The first thing I want you to see about the woman is her disease. Look at Mark 5, verses 25 and 26. And look at the description of her. It says, "And a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had and was nothing better, but rather grew worse." And you notice the very first thing about it, her is her sickness. She had an issue of blood. She had a hemorrhage. Eusebius, the historian of the church, said that when he wrote his ecclesiastical history, that he had gone to the town of Caesarea Philippi, and he said there was a statue there of this woman, and he said her name was Veronica, and there was a statue in Caesarea Philippi at the time of the Lord Jesus, and the woman reaching out by faith and touching him with her arms outstretched in supplication. Now, whether that is true or not, I don't know. But I know this, that she was a long time sick. And I know this, that she was dying. And then she had become very weak. And the longer she went, the weaker she became. And as days passed and years passed, so the weakness began to envelop her. And down she came, until she was a weak, frail individual. Of course, that is a picture of sinners. Sin brings death, and that's what was happening to this woman. She was going down to physical death. But I wanted to see something else about sin, and that is that sin leaves you weaker. The longer you go on in sin, the weaker you become. Now, you can know that because you can remember the first time you told a lie. It was such a thing in your life, such a big thing to tell a lie. It was such a guilty thing in your heart that you remember that day when you told a lie. You can remember that first time when you took a drink in the public house. You can remember that time that you stole something or took something small. And you can remember that time where you said something to your mother or your father. And that really struck you. That really brought conscience to bear in your heart. But as time has gone on, you've told more lies. Then you've been in the public house many a time. And your conscience gets seared. And the more you go on in sin, the weaker and weaker that sin leaves you. And it envelops you. It's like a disease. It just wraps itself around you. Brings you down, like your brother has said tonight. There was that time in his life
but it could hardly be free of the drink. It just got him tighter and tighter and tighter. And that's what was happening to this woman. And we see her sickness. But you know, it's also her sorrow. Because of this woman's sickness, she was unclean. Because in the law of Moses, anybody that had an issue of blood was counted as unclean. In Leviticus chapter 15 and verse 2 it says, when any man hath a running issue out of his flesh, because of his issue, he is unclean. And every bed that he lay upon was unclean. And every seat that he sat upon was unclean. And every place that he went into was unclean. And every person that he touched was unclean. Now you think of what that meant for this woman. Everybody that she touched was unclean. So nobody wanted anything to do with her. Nobody wanted her company. Nobody wanted to have so affection to her, to shake her by the hand, or bring her into their house, or in any way entertain her. She was lacking company, and sin had brought her down to sorrow. You know, there are many people, and that's literally what sin does in their hearts. Leaves them without company. Nobody wants to have anything to do with the drunkard. Nobody wants anything to do with the wife beater. Nobody wants anything to do with the woman of the street. And people will shun them. People will turn their back upon them. I'm sure that you haven't come to that place. But I tell you something worse. That because of your sin, you are shunned by God. See, God doesn't want anything to do with you. Your sins, the Bible says, have separated between you and your God. And you mightn't be a social outcast in this world, but you're a social outcast as far as heaven is concerned. And we see her sorrow. But then you think about her suffering. Because this woman determined that she wouldn't stay unclean. She said, I'm going to do something about this. I hope that you're here tonight. And you've determined to do something about it. Maybe you have begun to try to do something about it. And you've gone along like this woman to the physicians. Because it says in verse 26 that she had suffered many things of many physicians and had spent all that she had and was nothing better but rather grew worse. So these physicians had made her worse. And you can imagine her. I mean, you can't imagine what physicians like were like in those days. They had more courage than skill, I can tell you that. They would have taken all sorts of instruments. And they would have had all sorts of quack cures. And what they were doing really was robbing of the woman of what little strength she had. She was nothing better, but she rather grew worse. And day after day, and week after week, she visited the surgery. She had hope. And every time she went along, she had new hope. And maybe you've gone to places and you thought you had hope of getting peace for your heart. You've done this and this other thing and you thought, well, I'll get peace for my soul. I'll get peace for my heart in this place or in this religion or that religion. Your friend, the only place that you get peace is in the Lord Jesus Christ. And since she spent all her resources, she gave all that she had, but it done her nothing. Man or woman, you can give all that you have and not get you one thing as far as eternity is concerned. You can spend all, give all your work, do all your labor. It will not get you anything. This woman had gone to the quack doctors. And I want to tell you about the quack doctors that are all about. There's a spiritual psychiatrist. He tells you, he says, it's all in your mind. Well, you just settle yourself down and begin to think other thoughts. These things, this worry about sin, this worry about your soul, that's all in your mind. Just settle yourself down, get a few tablets, it'll be all right. Have you come to the spiritual psychiatrist? You think about the spiritual dietitian. What does he say? Give up a few things. Give up the drink. Give up the cigarettes. Give up the dancehall. Give up these things. And if you give up those things, clean your life up a bit, you'll be all right. And I'm sure she went along with the spiritual dietitian. And then there's a spiritual specialist, the all-rounder. Take a little bit of this, a little bit of that. Don't get fanatical about religion, but take a wee bit here and a wee bit there and you'll be all right. But here are all these physicians.
And it says she was not any better, but rather grew worse. And here was this woman, and she was in the midst of her sickness, and we see her disease. And that is your condition. Outside of Christ, your disease. You're dying, going down to Christ's eternity. But not only do we see her disease, but notice her desire. Look at verse 27. Said when she heard of Jesus, she came in the press behind and touched his garment. Now this woman learned of Christ. She began to hear the stories about the Lord Jesus Christ. No doubt she heard about the demoniac who had been delivered and what the Lord had done. And when she heard of Christ, a new desire and a new hope arose in her heart. And she says, if I may but touch his clothes, I shall be holy. Now you notice her doubt there. She says, if I may. If I may. If I may but touch his clothes, I will be holy. And there's a little element of doubt there. And I'm sure that the element of doubt came in because of her condition. If you get the picture of a weak, frail individual, that's this woman. She had illness for 12 years now. She was losing blood all the time. All these cures had weakened her and brought her down. And if you look at the frailest, if you have the picture of the frailest of beings, that's her. She says, I never get to the sheep. I never be able to get through the crowd. I never be able to get there. Maybe you're here and you're saying to yourself, well, I couldn't get there because of my condition. I couldn't give up my sin. My disease, the sin that holds me, is holding me so tight that I would never be saved. That's what that woman could have said. She said, well, it's gripping me like a vice. Is that what you're saying? I'm glad that the Lord Jesus can set you free. Then you might have thought something else, not only her condition. She might have said, well, the crowd has stopped me. We were told here it was a press. And you think of this weak individual, that she hadn't full strength in herself, and she was only a poor, weak, free woman. And she could have said, well, I can't get through that crowd. There's no way I'm going to get through to where the Lord Jesus Christ is. It's the crowd stopping you. The crowd of your friends, the crowd of your loved ones, the crowd of the people that you hang about with day by day. And she was so concerned about the crowd, and maybe you're concerned about the crowd. Look, dear friend, don't let the crowd stop you. Don't let the crowd stop you. And not only might her condition have stopped her, and the crowd might have stopped her, but then conventions might have stopped her. We've already told you that she was unclean. And if she went into that crowd and touched people, she was making them unclean. She should have stayed outside the crowd. She should have been separate from the crowd. Social conventions might have stopped her. Is that what's stopping you from coming to Christ? Social conventions? The type of people that you move about, man, they wouldn't like to know that you're saved. The crowd that you are going about with, the circles that you walk in, man, you're too proud to be saved. Too proud to get right with God. There are social conventions that stop people. But I want you to see this woman's determination. In spite of the crowd, in spite of the conventions, in spite of her condition, she said, I'm going to Christ. I'm going to get to the Savior. And with all the strength that she could muster, she pushed her way and pressed her way through that crowd to where the Lord Jesus Christ was. Now her determination was able to overcome her doubts. And I wonder, are you determined tonight to be saved? Get through the crowd. Whatever it is that is keeping you back from the Lord Jesus Christ, get to the Savior, no matter what it means. Get to the Savior. And we see this woman's desire. She came to Christ. But then I want you to see one more thing. Notice her deliverance. Because the Lord, when she mocked to him, she reached out and touched his garment. And it says that the Savior eventually says, for go in peace, be whole of thy plague. The Lord cured her. She was made whole that day. She had the disease that was benighting her for so many years. The priests couldn't do it. The physicians couldn't do it. No other could do it, but the Savior did it. She came to him. But notice some things about her deliverance here. First of all, I notice that she was timid when she came. She comes to the Lord Jesus, and it says when she comes to him, she comes behind. She just reaches out her hand. She doesn't speak to the Lord Jesus. She just reaches out her hand, and by faith she touches the hem of his garment. Now, she was coming timidly. She might well have come timidly, because in Luke we're told that she touched the border of his garment. Now, that garment there was his prayer shawl. That's what she touched. She touched the fringes of his prayer shawl. Now, in the Old Testament law, it was laid down in a prayer shawl. It should have had blue in it. There was a blue line or a blue stripe in a prayer shawl. In those days, blue dye was a very expensive thing. It cost the equivalent of £75,000 a pound. So you can imagine that they didn't put much blue dye into things. So the rabbi said, well, instead of having a blue stripe, you can have one blue thread in your prayer shawl, which even then made it a very expensive thing. A prayer shawl was a very valuable thing. So the rabbi said that nobody is allowed to touch your prayer shawl except a member of your family. This was against the Jewish law for anybody but a member of your family to touch the prayer shawl. And this woman comes timidly. She reaches out her hand and she touches the Lord's prayer shawl. I want you to see the first word that the Savior said to her now that she'd done that. Notice the first word. He said, daughter. Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. He's saying, you're my daughter. You have a right to come to me. You have a right to touch the hem of my garment. I'm accepting you into my family. You don't need to be afraid. You can come. And I'm glad that the Savior receives sinners. He brings you into his family. He paid the price of redemption. And he atoned for men and women's sin. And thank God, pardon is freely offered in the gospel. And whoever you are, whatever you've done, you can come to him tonight. And he receive you, bring you unto himself, and make you an heir of God. And a joint heir with Jesus Christ. She came timidly. And then she was healed immediately. Not only did the Lord say, daughter, but he said, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. And notice how instantaneous the cure was. No sooner had she touched the fringe of the Lord's garment than she was healed. 12 years she had. 12 years she'd gone from this one to that one, and she'd tried everything. But here she has changed in a moment of time. So the Lord can do, you can be changed in this meeting. You can go away home tonight, as our brother did those many years ago. Changed, transformed by the power of God. God can save you now and set you on the road to heaven. She was healed immediately. Not only did she come timidly, she was healed immediately, but she was changed noticeably. It says she sat in her body and she was healed of that plague. She knew. She knew something had happened. She knew she was different. She knew that something tangible had taken place. And some people think it's arrogant when Christians claim that they're saved. They say that's proud, that's presumptuous. But this woman knew. The apostles knew. Their receives knew. And thank God you can know. They were unsure that you're saved and washed in the precious blood of the Lamb. She came timidly. She was healed immediately. She was changed noticeably. But then notice that she was cured completely. Said the fountain of her blood dried up. Of course, that was a very hard problem. The very thing that was wrong. See, the Lord Jesus doesn't play about with the symptoms. Doesn't play about with what you do and the little sins that you're involved in. Where does he go to? He goes to the heart. That's what needs to be changed. Your heart needs to be changed. Your very life needs to be changed.
He doesn't half save you, or three quarters save you, or nine tenths save you. He saves you wholly. You can be whole of your pledge. You can be whole of your pledge. Do you care, Timothy? Do you feel immediately? Do you change noticeably? Do you cure completely? One more thing. Do you cleanse individually? She was the only one in that whole crowd that found a cure. The only one. Now I know that Jairus comes later and Jairus' daughter was healed, but she's outside the crowd. No, this woman is the only one in that whole crowd that's saved. Now I say to you tonight, don't be waiting for somebody else. What if this woman had been waiting for somebody else to reach out? She would have went away undelivered, unheeded. So don't be waiting for somebody else. You come tonight. You put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. He'll save you. Noticeably. Change you completely. Cure you with the whole of His salvation. He'll bring you to Himself. Will you come tonight? Will you put your trust in Him? Will you be saved? Let's just bow thanks. And we're going to pray. And we're going to close our meeting in prayer. Time is long gone. But if you will come tonight, then don't go away without the Savior. Come and speak to us. Come at the end of the meeting. We're only too glad to help you. You need to be saved. Our gracious God and Father, we thank Thee for Thy precious word. We thank Thee that Thou art able to save to the uttermost all that come unto God by Thee. Oh, save tonight. Save men and women. Draw them to Thyself. O God, that there might be joy tonight over sinners repenting. Bless them. Write Thy word upon hearts. For it's in Jesus' precious name we ask these things.